Barbara, at the break, you said there you had something you wanted to say here about chapter 18 of 1 Kings.
Well, in this chapter, we see how Jezebel and Ahab have come against God in their... Now, they're the ruling party here in Israel. And remember that Omri is Ahab's father. He built Samaria. And then in Samaria is where Ahab and Jezebel dwelt. And they built all these horrible, horrible images to Asherah and Baal. And they also killed... Now, it says Jezebel personally destroyed 100... killed the prophets of the Lord. And Obadiah, a wonderful man who loved the Lord God. Remember, when things are bad, God always has a representative. Always has somebody there in the clutches. He took 100 prophets left and fed and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. So here was a wonderful prophet of God. He hid 100 of the prophets, although Jezebel killed most of the prophets of the Lord. We can say they were into the hundreds. When God appointed the tribe of Levi, he appointed hundreds of prophets to be able to take each other's place in the house of the Lord for worship, because it was 24 hours a day that there were sacrifices and there were burning incense and offerings to the Lord. So this took a large group of prophets.
Well, these prophets were in opposition to what Ahab and Jezebel were all about.
Yes.
And so they were the visible enemies of the current government structure.
Yes, they
were. And, of course, she moved in and tried to kill them all, and let's get rid of them and get on with it.
Now, we can't possibly go through all the stories of Elijah, so we're encouraging you to go into 1 Kings 17, 18, 19, and really read it take some time and read through these passages. But here in the 16th verse of chapter 18, we see that Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him that Elijah was here, and Elijah wanted to talk to Ahab. Now, Elijah always had a message from the Lord, even for the evil people. And here is where we hear Ahab calling Elijah, Darren, the troubler of Israel. And then Elijah says to him, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 250 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Now, Darren, these are prophets that live under this wicked, wicked woman's rule.
Okay, let me just correct one thing. You said 250 prophets of Baal. There were 450.
I'm sorry. Yes.
So there are 450 prophets of Baal. This is dramatic, Barbara.
It
I don't
really
want
is.
To shorten it
here. Really is. I'm
450
sorry.
450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Asherah, right, who eat at Jezebel's table, in other words, her country club.
Yes.
And so they kept her puffed up, you know, and I see this sometimes, even today, where people have entourage that are around them, you know, hold them up, tell me I'm wonderful, tell me I'm great.
Mm-hmm.
And Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. See, got Ahab to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? I love that.
Yes.
If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him.
Now,
but the people did not answer him a word.
I'm sorry. Now, here is probably the most important part of this chapter, Darren, and we are all caught up, and of course the fire coming down from God and burning up and licking up the sacrifice that Elijah had put on this altar that he had to rebuild because the altar was broken down. That's very important. But here is a message for today, and this message for today is, how long will you, listeners? Some of you are hesitating. Some of you are shrinking back. And God doesn't like that. He's saying, go forth in my power and in my word and accomplish that which I have spoken to you about. Here he's saying, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? That's a double-mindedness, Darren. And it says in James, they're not going to accomplish anything when they're double-minded.
Well, it says, don't let him think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Even if you pray and you're double-minded, you won't receive
it. Yes. And in the literal Hebrew here, the word hesitate, how long will you hesitate? It says, how long will you limp along on two opinions? Limp.
Now, I'm going to say, you could also say it this way. How long are you going to go along with a broken focus?
Oh, yes, that's
good. You cannot have a divided focus. You got to be either with God or with the devil. You can't be, you know, your foot in both worlds, so to speak. But He goes on to say, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? And see, now, you're always challenged, folks, in the spirit world as well as in the natural, to walk in double-mindedness. See, you got to decide. You got to throw it all in with God or with the devil. You can't go with one or the other.
Yes.
And it says here, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves, and cut it up, and place it on the wood. Put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other ox, and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. And then you call on the name of your God, small g, and I will call on the name of the Lord, capital L, and the Lord God who answers by fire, he is God. Now, I think this is so important, and I'm pointing this out because you need a Bible that capitalizes God, the Almighty God, mm-hmm. so that you know which God you're talking about.
Yes. Now, you know, I would love to read through this whole story, but we've got another chapter to go. But we know that when these prophets of Baal and Asherah called upon their God, and Darren, it says they cut themselves and they leaped upon the altars, and all day long they shouted for their God to answer, and he wouldn't. And in fact, Elijah said, your God has maybe gone and sat on the toilet or something like that. It says in the living paraphrase. So it's kind of interesting how he's mocking these prophets of these gods. But then when Elijah takes this broken down altar and he puts the sacrifice on it, but he actually pours water on the altar. Now, fire doesn't burn when there's water present. Here he's showing them that his God's going to answer in fire. And the water flowed around the altar. And then would you read his prayer in verse 36, Darren? It's wonderful.
Well, I think here he's calling on the name of the Lord. But it says, then it came about at the time of the evening offering that Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant and at thy and that I have done all these things at thy word. In other words, it wasn't my idea.
Yes.
It's God's idea. Now, let me tell you, as I was reading through this earlier today, I realized that God comes down among the people. God isn't just parked himself up there in heaven, way off someplace in the galaxy. He's going to come down and be a part of this. Verse 37, answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench.
Hallelujah, praise God.
Now, see, I can understand God burning up the sacrifice in the wood, but he even burned up the stones.
The water, yeah.
There wasn't anything left.
That's right, hallelujah.
When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Now, right there, they're turning back their backs on idolatry.
Yes.
And today, I tell you, folks, when there's idolatry, the Old Testament says, when there's idolatry, it is as witchcraft. They were turning their backs on witchcraft.
Yes. And only after then they killed the prophets of Baal by Elijah's order and by the brook Kidron, slew them. Then and only then was there a sound of rain. Darren, when the people turn, when they repent, when they come back to God, God is always going to rain his promise on them. And he put his face between his knees and he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. And he went and looked and he said, oh, Elijah, there's nothing. And he said, go back. And he went seven times. Why seven? Perfect number of times. He went back to the back and looked. And it came about at the seventh time. He said, behold, a cloud as small as a man's hand is coming up from the sea. And then he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down so that the heavy shower does not stop you. And then Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and there was a heavy shower. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins. That means he took up the skirt that he was wearing, and he wrapped it around his waist so he could run. And he outran Ahab. He outran him running. Ahab was in a chariot, and Elijah was running, and yet he outran him to Jezreel.
See, I think it's important that in chapter 19 it begins, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets of her country club.
Of her country club. A paraphrase by Darren, but that's true.
With the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as